This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Now that's a good looking hat. Look at that one. Brian in Billings just sent me a photo, a little selfie of him driving through Billings, Montana with his Little Belt Cattle Company hat on. That's a good looking hat right there. Hey, we're going to chat with Greg Putnam from the Little Belt Cattle Company later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. We've got a full lineup for you here this morning. And it's a great lineup. But I always feel bad whenever we have nothing but guests lined up, because we love mixing it up on any topics under the sun, taking your phone calls on any topic under the sun. But, man, thanks to our title sponsor, Fusion Fight League, I'm taking off. I'm taking off for UFC 300. I'll be at UFC 300 in Vegas this weekend. Of course, you've got the Fusion Fight League fights tomorrow night in Great Falls, Montana. You're going to want to get your tickets for that if you don't have them already. Go to MontanaTalks.com right now. I've got a little scene setter for you here of these Fusion Fight League events and the Octagon action headed to Great Falls tomorrow, and then Bozeman later this month, I think on the 27th, Billings coming up May 11th. But I'm taking tomorrow off we're going to tour the UFC performance facility. We got a Vegas Knights game we're going to check out tomorrow night, which is really fun games to watch, by the way. And then, of course, UFC 300 coming up on Saturday. We're going to have full coverage for you on Monday of everything we get to see, the people watching and more. So that'll be a great show coming up for you for Monday. But today, because I'm going to be out tomorrow and then off to Vegas for UFC 300, we're trying to pack a lot in today. But we got a lot of great things coming up for you here. Let's see. I told you about Greg Putnam from the Little Belt Cattle Company coming on around 9:40. Of course, Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity. He gave us a scene setter yesterday with a quick call in. He'll be on around 9:20. Then we're sneaking in the best attorney general in the country, Attorney General Austin Knutson. He's got the new head of the Montana Highway Patrol with him, so they'll be kicking off the 9 o'clock hour for us. But here in this 8 o'clock hour of the show, Rob Nadelson, this is going to be a great program for you here. Rob Nadelson, former constitutional law professor at the University of Montana. Now he is a constitutional fellow, I believe, is it the Independence Institute down in Denver? I should have had his bio in front of me. But what I do have in front of me here from Professor Rob Nadelson is the executive summary of a big report that he just published. The Montana Supreme Court, an institution in need of reform. And we're going to catch up with our great friend Rob Nadelson here right after our opening break here, this 8 o'clock hour of this show. I think he's going to be with us for the full hour, so you can jump in on the conversation. But we've been talking about this a lot. We've got a liberal mob, a partisan mob, a partisan leftist Democrat mob running our Montana Supreme Court right now. And they're throwing all of the work of our legislators and our governor right into the trash can. They're abusing their positions of power. But we're gonna start big picture. What kind of reforms could we bring about to the Montana Supreme Court? How can we restore justice and fairness in the Montana Supreme Court? Professor Rob Nadelson coming up right after this, right here on Montana Talks. And you can jump in on the conversation, 294-0970.
Securing America.
The Air Force is working on creating a fleet of more than 1,000 autonomously operated drones, otherwise known as collaborative combat aircraft. Air Force Secretary Frank Kendall spoke about the program Tuesday during a hearing before a Senate Appropriations Subcommittee.
The technology is moving forward really well. We're encouraged by that.
The initial Air Force drones will primarily be used to counter other aircraft and will eventually develop other capabilities. So how does drone technology get tested?
I'm going to get a ride in an autonomously flown F-16 later this year. There will be a pilot with me who will just be watching as I will be as the autonomous technology works. And hopefully neither he or I will need to fly the airplane.
Drone warfare has become increasingly common, especially during the war in Ukraine and in the Middle East. And Kendall says the U.S.'s program is on track to keep up, especially with China.
I'm very encouraged by where the CCAs are.
Kim Uretsky, Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's great to have the great Rob Nadelson back with us here on Montana Talks. Rob, I should have had your bio in front of me, but, you know, we've known you for so many years, we just don't assume that we got to print up a bio. So I was like, what's his official title again? His official title is Senior Fellow in Constitutional Jurisprudence with the Independence Institute, or in other words, the Constitution guy. I like that version. Great to have you.
Hey, good to be here. And you probably also should mention, I was on the University of Montana faculty for 24 years. Please don't take that against me.
I was going to say, they forgive me for attending the University of Montana, so I think they'll forgive you as well. Yeah. Well, let's start with the high points. So the Montana Supreme Court, an institution in need of reform. This is almost, what, 200 pages? You put together a comprehensive report. Yeah, I think you were telling me you spent at least 6 months putting this report together.
Yeah, I put a lot of months putting it together. It's actually more like 90 pages because, you know, I could have said more, but sometimes there's a time to shut up. There are one or two things to one or two takeaways I'd like to come up, you know, straight up front about the Montana Supreme Court. This is not a liberal court. If you go to Colorado and you study the Colorado Supreme Court's jurisprudence, that's where I am right now. That's a liberal Supreme Court, but it's well within professional norms. So, and you saw that there are professional norms with the Donald Trump disqualification suit. And that was dismissed 9-0. You had three liberal justices voting with the rest to disqualify. They're acting within general judicial norms. This is a court that acts outside of judicial norms. This is sort of like, you know, let's say you got a heart murmur and you go to a cardiologist, two cardiologists, and the cardiologists differ as to how to treat it, maybe whether to put in a stent or not. But a third guy comes over and says, no, I think the way we ought to treat it is we ought to lay him down, put on funny masks, shake rattles, and chant until he feels better. That's more like the Montana Supreme Court. It is way out of judicial, recognized judicial standards. And that's really important for Montanans to understand. This is not, the court is not acting like, you know, everybody does it. This is a court which is just out of control. And let me just give you two indications of that. One indication is there have been 25 ballot measures that have come before the Montana Supreme Court that you can define as either liberal or conservative. Some were neither, but about 25 you can define as either liberal or conservative. The court has an unbroken record of upholding every liberal initiative. It has an almost unbroken record of striking down almost every conservative initiative. That kind of thing doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen in mainstream courts, even though they might otherwise be characterized as liberal or conservative. So you see here a court kind of acting outside the mainstream. And the lower courts in Montana have picked up on this. By the last count, and you alluded to this, Aaron, in your intro, by the last count, there were something like 57 lawsuits going on in the lower courts or in the Montana Supreme Court, putting a hold on legislation adopted by the Montana legislature since 2021. Now, I've been around for a long time. I've been in the legal system for over 50 years, and I've worked with the case law of all 50 states, I study constitutional history going back centuries. I don't recall anything ever happening like this anywhere. But what's happened is the judicial branch knows that the Montana Supreme Court is going to strike down any conservative legislation, it seems, almost any, and they take the lead from it. And so as a result, governance has been taken away from the Democratic branches and transferred to the Montana Supreme Court. That is a really alarming prospect.
And that's why these Supreme Court elections this year are so important, with Judge Dan Wilson running for a justice seat on the court, Corey Swanson running for Chief Justice on the Montana Supreme Court. We've got about a minute and a half before we get to our first break here, and then, of course, some callers that'll want to mix it up with you as well. What's the biggest reform that needs to be done, aside from booting some of these bums out of there?
You know, that's booting some of them out is important. I don't know that I can say that one reform is more important than another. I like partisan elections because it ends the pretense that nonpartisan elections are not political. All nonpartisan elections do is put the politics, back in secret in a closet. I like district elections. The problem, though, with taking the court on legislatively is the court has a demonstrated record. When the legislature tries to rein it in, it just strikes it down, says, well, this is a prerogative of the judicial branch, and therefore the law is unconstitutional. There probably need to be some changes in the Montana Constitution as well, because the court uses vague and uncertain language in the Montana Constitution to make up its own law. And then finally, the Montana Supreme Court is a uniquely powerful institution, much, much more powerful than the Supreme Courts of other states. And its power probably needs to be cut back down to size.
Well, and I know one thing we've talked about is we've had state lawmakers on the program is hey, the state legislature has the power of the purse. If they're going to keep acting like tyrants on this leftist mob-run Montana Supreme Court, well, then rein them in vis-a-vis the purse strings. Stand by. Rob Nadelson will come back to you right after this, a former constitutional law professor and now senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence. Stand by. UFC 300. We will be in the house for UFC 300 in Las Vegas. Aaron Flint here. Our coverage brought to you by the Fusion Fight League here in Montana.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Bear Tooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's sneak in a quick phone call here. If you've got a question or a comment as we talk with Professor Rob Nadelson, former University of Montana constitutional law professor, now a senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence with the Independence Institute. He's based now down in Denver, Colorado. Tim in Billings, did you have a quick question or a comment?
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Professor. So I think that the Supreme Court in Montana, they've taken their title a little too seriously, and they forgot that they're separate but equal branches, not separate and then superior branch. You know, they don't rule the roost. They're just one part of the one ingredient in the soup. But I think that partisan elections are necessary because these are partisan decisions that they make. And I also think that what should happen is the legislature ought to put a mechanism in there that if our Supreme Court gets overturned, or even these lower courts get overturned, there should be a certain percentage or number of cases or something like that where if the judges would be held personally financially liable for their decisions. Like, we just got taxed with this big bill when the Supreme Court said that they were, we screwed up. And, oh, by the way, here's the bill for us screwing up. I think they should be held personally financially liable to pay those bills themselves, because they don't have to suffer politically, for those decisions, because they're nonpartisan elections, and then the liberals just do nothing but dump tons of money into election season, and most of the general public doesn't pay any attention to judicial races at all anyway. So
and Professor Nadelson, if you hadn't seen this headline yet, Tim, thanks for the call. Professor Nadelson, if you hadn't seen the headline yet, this is pretty hysterical. The left-wing Montana Supreme Court, they've now admitted, finally, at least in one case, that they screwed up with a decision involving legislative affairs. But they still want we, the people, the taxpayers, to pay the attorney's fees for the liberal lawyers that, of course, then turn around and donate to their campaigns. But your thoughts on what Tim had to say?
Yeah, I took a look at that decision, and I'll tell you, I hit the roof, because there is a tradition, there's a constitutional tradition in this country that a other branches of government don't mess with the legislature's internal rules. That tradition is actually older than the U.S. Constitution. It goes back to the struggles against the crown in the early 1600s. Now, the court, I read the court sort of, you know, non-apology. They said, well, you know, we didn't really mean to review the rules, but we just considered the rules in deciding whether the legislature acted in bad faith. Sorry. The legislature's rules and internal procedures are not evidence of anything as far as you're concerned. That's the legislature's concern and the concern of the people who elect the legislature. Aaron, I would like to mention one other thing regarding the caller's point. He said that that it's a co-equal branch of government. It's not a superior branch of government. It's not just that. The court has actually erected itself not just over the other two branches. It's erected itself over the people. Because in 1998, the court decided that it can exercise an absolute veto over any constitutional amendment in Montana. It adopted a rule that basically allows it to say, if we like an amendment, we'll let it go. If we don't like an amendment, we'll strike it down. It's not really a rule at all. It's just a subjective standard. And predictably, what has happened is that every conservative constitutional amendment that's come up since 1999 has been struck down, and the two liberal ones that came up just recently have been upheld. So they've actually elevated themselves above the people. That's what I mean by this court going beyond what we usually talk about, a liberal court or a conservative. This court is sort of like off the spectrum.
No, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up, because that was going to be one of my follow-up questions. I think it was Greg Franks from Billings who was telling me about this, because the natural thought is, okay, well, hey, you try to get a law, you try to change the process or change the law through the legislature, get the governor to sign it into law. Well, then the Supreme Court says, nope, can't do that. We're gonna do some legal gymnastics to figure out a way to call it unconstitutional. So then, okay, let's do an amendment, a ballot initiative through the people. The people vote to change the Montana Constitution. And then, no, I've heard that this has happened in the past. The left-wing Montana Supreme Court says, the people just voted to make this change, but we don't like it, so we're just going to shoot it down. That is outrageous.
Yeah, it is. And they've done it, but they've done it repeatedly. And they've done it with they did it most recently with a tax reform, property tax reform measure. They said, well, you know, this amendment isn't valid because it changes more than one part of the Constitution. And the parts that changed, they basically said, well, this is handled by one part of the bureaucracy and this other aspect's handled by another bureaucracy. That should be irrelevant when the people speak. You know, it's up for somebody who proposes an amendment to propose whatever he wants, and then it's up to the people to accept it or not. So don't let them tell you that they're just construing the Montana Constitution, because they basically made up the interpretation of the section of the Montana Constitution they're relying on. By the way, some callers or listeners might say, well, what about impeachment? The problem with impeachment in Montana is that, unlike on the federal level, where it only takes a majority of the House of Representatives to impeach, in Montana it takes two-thirds of the House of Representatives to impeach. So you have some Democrats and a few maybe timid Republicans. You don't get impeachment through.
That's right.
So I think you need
and
to
we
look,
have that.
Need to look at other
every
options.
Time.
Yeah.
We may have a supermajority, but like you say, you get a few timid Republicans, a few blue falcons, to use some recent
that's
terminology,
right.
that tank it or in the tank themselves. Yeah, no, it's absolutely crazy. What about controlling the purse strings? I know that gets to be an iffy one, because we've got some folks in our judicial system that are doing yeoman's work, you know, handling, you know, drug courts and treatment courts and day-to-day court stuff. But I think probably close to half of our district court judges were put on the bench by Democrat Governor Steve Bullock, or put on the bench by a Democrat governor, and they're just abusing their positions of power. But at some point, you know, you've got to use purse strings or something to rein these tyrants in.
I wouldn't blame most of the district court judges. Obviously, there are a few bad apples, but I wouldn't blame them too much. You know, district court judges, their job is to make sure they don't get overruled. And so they're largely taking their cue from the Montana Supreme Court. If you had a majority of responsible justices on the Montana Supreme Court, I think you'd find the problems at the district court level would work themselves out. Not all of them, but most of them would pretty quick. As for the purse strings, I'm not quite sure what that would look like. I mean, I'm open to the idea, but I'm not sure what it would look like. You recall in the Board of Regents decision where the Colorado legislature said we're going to allow concealed carry around the state, including on university campuses. They included a little financial incentive to the Board of Regents to not challenge the law. Montana Supreme Court found a way around all that and, you know, and struck down the measure as it applied to the university campuses. That's the problem with purely legislative solutions. The willingness of the court to defend itself by pretending that anything the legislature passes that it doesn't like is unconstitutional.
Well, that's why your point about it's time to lift the veil and stop this phoniness where basically you get these radical left-wing Democrat partisan justices and judges. Oh, no, we're just nonpartisan. And then they'll have their dark money mega donors flood the state with ads, making these people look to be conservatives or Republicans. But there's no party identification behind their name. Whereas if you forced a party identification and pretend, then now you take the veil off and you get truth. Shouldn't we demand truth from our own Supreme Court and the Supreme Court candidates? I think we all want to see that. Ron in Big Fork next up on the phone lines. Ron, did you have a quick question or comment?
I would like to ask the professor about getting control of courts generally in Montana. First year of law school, you take civil procedure and you learn about jurisdiction, amount in question, long arm statutes, subject matter jurisdiction. Is it possible for the legislature to put limits on judges by controlling the amount in question and subject matter jurisdiction and the required minimum sentencing? We've got a rash of people pulling guns on each other here in the Flathead, and everybody gets a deferred sentence. Everybody. So is there any way to control the Supreme Court, or can the Supreme Court overrule the legislature's attempt to control the Supreme Court?
Yeah, great questions all around. Ron, thanks for the call. Boy, this is a question probably all across the country with these liberal DAs just putting criminals right back out on the streets, right?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Ron. The answer to the question is yes or no. Yes and no. There are some things that the legislature probably could do. Minimum sentences, for example, I'm aware of the arguments against minimum sentences, but you can change the criminal law to limit the judge's discretion. And it would be pretty tough for the Supreme Court of Montana to overturn that. As for the other doctrines you talk about that you learn about in first year of law school, justiciability, standing, political question doctrine, those sorts of things, the court claims it follows those, but it disregards those doctrines whenever it wants to. If the legislature passed a law saying, in order to for a case to be heard, the plaintiffs must have standing, and the standing consists of A, B, C, D, E, I'm sure the Montana Supreme Court would strike down that law as an invasion of the judicial branch. So I don't think that's going to work. Some tightening of the criminal law probably could work.
One other thing that you point out, and you've already kind of mentioned this to a certain extent, is how the left-wing Supreme Court justices here in Montana frequently disregard their own rules. And some of the key points from this report by Professor Rob Nadelson, the Montana Supreme Court, an institution in need of reform, says this: the court still uses unclear opinions, and the justices frequently disregard their own rules. This is particularly noticeable in how the justices waive standing requirements for favored plaintiffs, how they review statutes for constitutionality, and how they enforce constitutional rights. We'll talk more with Professor Rob Nadelson right after this quick break. Plus, we've got State Senator Brad Molnar next up on the phone lines as well. 294-0970.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I think, was this a few days ago? I think we had a great phone call from State Senator Brad Molnar talking about the idea of impeachment when it comes to judges or Supreme Court justices. And so great to get a phone call here from Senator Molnar as we chat with constitutional law professor Rob Nadelson, now with the Independence Institute in Denver. Senator Molnar, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for calling in.
I did. Rob and I have been on the Supreme Court's case for 30 years. I had a protest outside the Supreme Court, and when they overturned one of Rob's constitutional initiatives, and Rob showed up with a megaphone and got off the bus, and we protested. Now, you don't see that anymore. So I wanted to, I don't know if Rob understands this or has been following it, but 442 is the case. It's a bill that died in process. The Supreme Court has allowed it to be brought back to life, ordered the Secretary of State to poll the legislature, and governor's been told that he had to write a veto message. And all of this on a bill that died in process. And what I've been trying to get my fellow legislators to do, Republican legislators, is to do impeachment hearings. No, Rob, we're not going to get 66 votes on, two-thirds vote on that. But if you're going to fight the yard, the schoolyard bully, and you're the pencil neck, you got to fight him so he knows it's not going to be easy.
That's a good point.
No, you're not going to win. Unless you can stand up.
Yeah.
That's
a great point. Same thing with the Mayorkas impeachment hearing, right, and trial. Like, hey, he deserves to be impeached. Let John Tester vote against impeachment of Mayorkas and let him be held accountable for that. But you got to hold him accountable. Senator Molnar, good to hear from you. Rob Nadelson, your thoughts.
That's right. We go back many, many years. Outstanding Montanan and outstanding American. Wish I could be there with him, but as you know, I'm in exile here in Colorado. I'm a believer that you don't make threats that you can't carry out. My understanding is that Senator Jason Ellsworth has the idea of holding hearings on the court and exposing publicly what's going on. I think that's a very good idea. Maybe an impeachment inquiry would be the way to do it, but you have to be very clear with the press and others that you understand that, that you're not in fantasy land, that that you're not going to get you're not going to get the votes, but you think that the public education is really important. By the way, one thing I should add here, Aaron, because it's really important that people hear this, especially like Republican Party activists, there is no one on the court who's innocent.
Even Jim Rice sad.
There's a myth that certain, I'm not going to mention names, there's a myth that certain people on the court are more conservative or whatever, and they may be in some decisions, but their hands, all of their hands are tarred with overreaching. And so I would just say, if an incumbent comes up for election, you vote no. The other thing in way of a solution, which is actually a pretty simple kind of solution that people haven't talked about, is we have scorecards to measure how legislators perform. Voter information pamphlets to tell you how people voted one way or another on an issue. We could do that with the court. It would require hiring somebody who's competent to get into the decisions, and that would require a little money, but a lot less money than, say, running a statewide initiative.
Hmm.
Just getting information to conservative-oriented voters that, Justice X voted for this would be a big step forward.
Well, one of the things,
now a lot of those conservative voters just go and vote yes because they don't know anything.
They don't know. Yeah. One of the things, David Noble, who's filling in for me tomorrow, he's a lawyer in Billings. If you haven't met him, you'll have to meet him one of these days. A great, smart
man. He was a host one time I was on.
Oh, good. That's right. When I was gone for military training in the past. But anyway, he encouraged me, and I'm now signed up for it. The clerk of the Montana Supreme Court, great guy, Bowen Greenwood, he sends out a Supreme Court digest. And so I've subscribed to that now so I can get more news at my fingertips coming out of the Montana Supreme Court. I would encourage others to do so. Let's see, Senate Bill 442. I don't know if you've followed this story in particular. It's the property tax 95 mil levy deal. But, basically, Montana Secretary of State Christy Jacobson made the point that never before in Montana's history, never before in Montana's statehood history, heck, you can go all the way back to when General Thomas Francis Marr disappeared off a steamboat in Fort Benton, Montana, and not even in our territorial days. Have they ever done this? But now the Montana Supreme Court is ordering a veto override vote nearly a year after the fact. It's totally unprecedented.
Yeah, you know, I actually looked at the veto override provisions, and I think the court's wrong about that. But it's another example of overreach. What else can you say about it?
That's right. Next up on the phone lines, taking your phone calls, if you have a quick question or comment, 294-0970. Now let's go to Elena in Phillipsburg. Elena, thanks for the call.
Good morning, Rob. You must have read my mind about the justices, because the scorecard, I remember Colorado had a group called Clear the Bench years ago. And I thought that was a fantastic group. They would keep a scorecard on how the justices decided their opinion in certain cases, so people can go and look to see how these judges voted, rather than just see retain on the ballot, not retain, or whatever they put on the ballot. So we can actually vote for somebody with a background in knowing how they decided. And that was Clear the Bench. I guess they're not there anymore, but I understand that the state itself has incorporated a lot of these things, and you can go to the state website and check on the justices. Am I right?
Oh, very, yeah, very good question and good reminder there, Elena. Rob, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, Elena, first, hi, another person with whom I go way back. Clear the Bench Colorado was run by a guy who unfortunately got kind of crosswise with people, with other conservative activists. I don't know all the details, but the bottom line is he lost credibility, and then Clear the Bench Colorado kind of disappeared. I understand that the official assessments of Colorado justices are kind of a joke. It has one of the problems with Clear the Bench Colorado is that the guy who ran it meant well. He was not a lawyer, and he didn't really have the training to be able to get into these decisions. What you need to do is you need to hire a lawyer, preferably somebody who's not afraid of getting crosswise with the Montana Supreme Court, and have that, and by the way, I'm not campaigning for this job, and have that person actually do the scorecard and keep it independent. Keep it away from the government, because, of course, if it becomes part of the government, it'll soon become useless.
That's right. That's right. The closest thing we've had to something like that here in Montana is, I know the Montana Family Foundation and Jeff Lesloffy, they've at least tried to follow the money and say, this judge or this justice candidate has historically given to Democrats or Republicans or neither. So we can at least kind of follow the money. But even that in itself, doesn't tell you everything that you might need to know. So
no, it doesn't. And even among the Democratic, and again, as I said, they're all guilty, but among the Democratic meaning justices, there are some who are actually fairly good jurists, except when they go outside the spectrum. And then there are others who are just hopeless. I mean, there's also a large dash of just incompetence on the court for people who shouldn't be judges, period. And that's, you don't pick that up usually, which is kind of a yes or no thing. You need a scorecard that goes into those subtleties, if that's a word.
That's right. That's right. Well, hold that thought, and we've got more callers on the phone lines here as we chat with Rob Nadelson, a senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence with the Independence Institute down in Denver. Always fun, especially whenever he makes it back here to Montana, but good to have him on the phone lines here this morning. Hey, real quick here, I want to tell you guys about something important. I know we've got some folks, you might be in your 30s, you might be in your 70s, and you've got joint pain, you've got knee pain, you've got back pain, you name it. But you're doing everything you can to avoid surgery, which is good. Sometimes you got to get surgery, but if you can avoid it, that's better, right? Even the surgeons will tell you that. You don't want to be hooked on those painkiller drugs either. Well, what if there was a natural treatment solution? There is. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in what's known as regenerative medicine. They've got hundreds of clinics all across America, and they're now here in Montana. And you can get a free consultation. give QC Kinetics a call, 406-201-6263. Again, that's QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263. And yeah, what they do is they take the healing agents that are already in your body, consolidate them, and put them right into those achy joints. That's how it works. QC Kinetics, 201-6263.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And then you look at the other crimes that they're committed, and they just let this go on and on and on. That's why they have blood on their hands. And if I end up being right, and terror cells are forming in this country, and they plot, plan, and scheme a 9/11, an October 7th or worse, and it happens, and a lot of dead Americans is the result of all of this, they have the blood on their hands. Just like all of the people that have been murdered, all the homicide victims, all of the crime victims, you can blame the Democratic Radical Party and Joe Biden for allowing and aiding and abetting in this. This is a prescription for an unmitigated disaster. You want to talk about a threat to democracy? This is your biggest threat to democracy.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Look out, world, we're getting strong. The future's here and we belong.
She can swim, she can do more.
I build a rocket and watch it soar.
We'll clean the oceans and make the world a better place. Oh,
she can swim, so can you.
Find a cure,
invent something new.
There's no challenge in the world that she can't face.
She can STEM.
Learn more at She Can STEM. A message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Why? All right, we got coffee cups, we got pink hoodies, we've got trucker hats. Hey, it's what you got to do. You want to market your beef, you want to market your bull sale, you want to market your business, that's what you got to do. You got to get the word out, right? Oh, man, I think we had a little too much fun on Wednesday's Montana Talks. We'll get serious for Thursday. Don't worry. We've got the Attorney General dropping by. We've got Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Action. Plus, I think we'll have some pretty good amount of open phones time as well. Wednesday's...
Dogs' results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend. Studio. Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. This is probably our fastest segment of the hour here. Just a quick few minutes left here. I know a lot of you are going to be asking, hey, where can I go read more about this? You can download the full issue paper that Rob Adelson put together. Tell you about that in a second. Let's sneak in at least one more phone call here. John Sinrud in Kalispell. Thanks for the call. Did you have a quick question or comment?
Well, Rob, thanks for being a stalwart in regards to constitutional values. The question I have is, if the state of Montana Supreme Court on an issue does not have a specific case or something dealing with that issue before them, why do they have the authority to go outside the state and look for other laws?
Oh, I think you just lost cell coverage, but I think Rob got enough of the question to give you an answer. Go ahead, Rob Nadelson.
Well, I think it's a good question, and here's the answer. If there's no relevant Montana authority, then it's permissible, generally permissible, for a court to look at other states and seek what's called persuasive authority. The problem is that the Montana Supreme Court misuses it. In that case I mentioned a few minutes ago, where the Montana Supreme Court arrogated to itself an absolute veto over the people on constitutional amendments, they had, depending on how you count them, from 3 to 5 binding precedents from the Montana Supreme Court that they should have followed. they disregarded, overturned those precedents, and instead went and looked at an Oregon case. It's obviously inappropriate behavior.
Yeah, that's right. Overturning the clear will of the people with a constitutional initiative is just the most glaring.
And their own rules. And their own rules, Aaron, because the constitutional initiative followed their own cases. They overturn their own cases. They do so after the election's over, which is a violation of the U.S. Constitution, by the way. And then they drag in some case from Oregon involving a constitution which is very different from ours. The point is that this court operates outside professional norms. They simply do what they want to do. And that's the fundamental problem we're dealing with. Not that it's a court that leans left or leans right. This is one that's completely fallen over.
It's a lawless court. Even aside from leftist or right or whatever, this is a lawless court. They don't even follow their own rules. Well said, Art. I know we're just about out of time. Sean and Libby, did you have something quick to share?
Yes, sir. I didn't catch the name of the judge that you have on board.
The law professor, Rob Nadelson, with the Independence Institute. Yeah, go ahead. We're just about out of time.
Yes, sir. I salute you, sir. Okay, so we need to change the Supreme Court. And the pioneers of Montana, they went by the truth and they went by the facts. And it's the Supreme Court now is here in Montana is going totally against that. But another reason I'm calling is because starting in 1992, you brought up Thomas Francis Morrow. I've been trying to reopen that case. I've been doing research on that. And Thomas Francis, he went up to Fort Benton with a security guard to pick up the firearms
Hold that thought, Sean. I apologize because we're just about out of time. Sean, send me more information about that, and I want to hear more about that. You've piqued my interest for sure. And if I'm not mistaken, is your last name Marr? That's kind of cool too. So, but literally, I've got like 20 seconds left. Rob Nadelson, appreciate your time. Where can folks go to read your full report?
First, I want to say, coming to Montana next week, really happy to be back. You can find the full report either at the Frontier Institute website or at the Independence Institute website, independenceinstitute.org. Click on the Constitution tab, and you'll find the full report there.
Right. All right, and then you can reach out to our friends at the Frontier Institute here in Montana as well. They teamed up with you for this effort. Rob Nadelson, always appreciate your insight. Glad to hear you'll be back in Montana.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Have you ever had a windfall, an inheritance from a relative you hardly knew, an unexpectedly high tax refund, or maybe, no, almost certainly, a stimulus check coming in from the government? The only thing that dampens the joy of extra cash is the certainty that it will not continue. Yet many of us have trouble bringing our spending back down when that reality arrives. So it may be for some crucial pieces of the economy in the coming months as the sugar high of stimulus spending fades and reality returns. Banks have enjoyed high deposits from households and businesses stashing away their extra cash. State governments had a surge in revenues and record budget surpluses. And stock markets kept going up in the low interest rate environment where that was the only place to earn a return. A return to normality will be a big change, but it's rapidly upon us. Montana's revenues are flat, stock markets are choppy, and extra cash is disappearing fast from bank vaults everywhere. Reality is arriving. I'm Patrick Brown.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.